Thank you. Well, if you could turn your Bibles to the book of Job, the book of Job. And I guess this is somewhat, a little bit different or funny. One of the first books that I read as a new Christian was the book of Job. And how many of you guys know, every time you read the book of Job, it's like things happen and circumstances happen that allow you to feel like Job. And I remember reading this, like I said, as a new Christian, and it just seemed like wave after wave kept coming at me as I was reading through the book of Job. And so every time I come to this book, every time I look at it, I'm like, okay, let's skip over it. Let's not read any of it. but honestly, out of Asaph, and then Jesus, of course, Job is probably one of my favorite Bible characters. One of the greatest men in all the Bible. And there's so much that we can learn from Job. And so last week we touched on the subject of uniting our heart with God. We went to Psalm 86 verse 11. It says, teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. And it says, unite my heart to fear thy name, and I will praise thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. And so we looked at what that meant, what it meant to unite our hearts with God, and we looked at what stops us from uniting our heart with God. We looked at what it means to be a stereotypical Christian, what it means to be a spirit-filled Christian. And so consider tonight part two to what we learned last week. And so this week and, you know, the weeks beyond, you know, you have God working your heart about a message, or working hard about something that he's teaching you, uniting your heart with his heart. And then you ask the question, God, why? God, why do you want my heart united with your heart? And you know, that's what we're going to talk about tonight. You know, oftentimes in our life, every single day, we can say, like the saying goes, the struggle is real. There are many times we face dire circumstances, many times we face trials and tribulations in our life. No one on this planet is exempt. But if our hearts are in the right place, if our focus is in the right place, then we are allowed that deliverance from God. Amen. And, you know, I've only been saved for about 7 years now. And many of you guys have been saved a whole lifetime. And I'm learning this, and many of you guys have learned this. There's nothing new in the Christian life. It's always the same things. You're tempted, you're tried, God delivers you. You're tempted, tried, God delivers you. Tempted, tried, God delivers you. And sometimes it just gets old, like, God, why am I being tempted? Why can't you just deliver me before the temptation comes? God, why are you trying me? God, why are you allowing this to come through my life? But during those period of times, we grow. During those period of times, we learn. During those period of times, we get to see God show up in our lives. And I'm going to tell you that life is not perfect. There are circumstances that come. And it just seems like in my life, wave after wave after wave, man, it just seems like, man, you get to the end of the tunnel. You finally get a breath of fresh air. It's like in a pool. You finally get your head up out of the water. And then all of a sudden, you're dunked back again. And you're just gasping for air. That's the way it seems sometimes. But can I tell you, God has been faithful all through the midst of that. Man, it just seems like everything is going on around me, but yet and still, God is always faithful to deliver me every single time. Maybe not when I want it, but exactly when he sees fit. When he says, hey, Jeremiah, you came to that place of learning. Before we get into the message, I just want to share a quick story with you. I remember being a sophomore in college, and this story has stuck with me since being a sophomore in college. And I know you said that's a long time ago, Jeremiah, you're old, and I agree with you. I remember this guy, he planted a church in Salem, Oregon. And he was talking to us about church planting and how hard church planting was. And him and his wife went to Salem, Oregon shortly after finishing Bible college. And they went to Salem, Oregon, and basically they thought, you know what, hey, we're going to make a difference here. God is going to use us here, so on and so forth. And so they had to make a detour down to Texas because they're doing they're on deputation. They're visiting one of his friend's church. And he said him and his wife were excited about what God was doing there and sending them to Oregon. And he said, we're all fired up, ready to go. And he said, as they were out soul winning, him and his friend, he said, a police officer came up to him, actually pulled them over And he said they weren't speeding, nothing like that. And he said the police officer came up to him, asked him, was he such and such? And he said, yes. And he said, come with me. He went to the hospital, and his wife, his mother-in-law, and his daughter were in the hospital. They got hit by a drunk driver. His mother-in-law broke her collarbone and various bones. His wife broke most of the bones in her body. And his little 5-year-old girl lost her life. And he said he remembers that morning when he was leaving to go out soul winning. He said the last moment that he had with his daughter was she kissed him on the lips and she ate Cheerios that morning. And he said he could still taste those Fruit Loops on his lips that morning. And that was the last moment that he seen his daughter. And he said he went the next day. No, that night, he said he went back to the place where he was staying. And he said that he lay on the lawn all night long. He just laid there. And he said, I didn't know what to say, what to pray, what to ask God for. He said, I just laid there. And then he said he went back and recalled when they were driving down to Texas for deputation. He said, God asked him in his heart, if you lost your wife, would you still serve me? And he said, of course, Lord. She was here before you were. You were here before she was. You called me to preach before she got here. Of course, God, I can do it. If my wife were to pass away, if my life were to die, God, of course, I follow you. But he said God never asked him about his daughter. And he said that was the one thing that tried him the most. And he said as he laid there that night, he said the only thing he could say was, God, I love you. God, I love you. And he said before that, he would have to question his love for God. But he said, God, I know I love you now. Because nothing is going to stop me from serving you. And you know, through the grace of God, that man got up that next day, preached Sunday school, did deputation. And he said, it's all I know. God, I'm not going to give up serving you. I'm not going to give up following you because you're worth it. Because you're my life. Because you're my everything. And you know, tonight, if we were to interview this man, Job, we would see a man in the same situation. We would see a man that has lost everything, yet he kept his relationship with God, number one. And you know, I like to put things in a way that I can apply them to my life, and I like to put things in a way that I can understand them. And oftentimes look at the Bible, we ask the question, how can we apply it to our lives? How can we understand it? And I like to, in a sense, put them on the stand or ask them different questions. And tonight we're going to ask the question, Job, how did you get through losing everything? How did you get through having nothing? And I believe that Job would answer with three things. Three things, and those three things we're going to look at tonight. And, you know, as Pastor Crabtree said, just open your hearts. You know, this is something that God has, you know, burdened my heart about. God has touched my heart about as far as we're going to talk to you tonight. And honestly, I'm just praying that it would just be a blessing to you, amen, that it would help you wherever you are at tonight. Amen. Amen. So we begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, there was a man from God, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so that when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of all of them. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. The Bible goes on to say in verse number 6, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? And then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking down up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And 2 things here. Man, isn't it like Satan that whenever God is doing something good, whenever something good is going on, Satan always has to get in the mix of it. Every single time. And then not only that, the Bible says in verse number 1 that Job was a perfect man, upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. And then God says it a second time. And man, wouldn't it be wonderful for God to say that about you, that you are perfect and upright, that you feared God, and that you eschewed evil. And that he not only said about you one time, but twice. Verse number 9, then Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for naught? Hast thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands and his substance and increased in the land. But then Satan says, but put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put forth not thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Then it all comes to pass. Then there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. Then there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing, the asses were feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I am escaped only to tell thee. And while he was yet speaking, there came another and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I am only alone to escape to tell thee. And then while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out 3 bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away. Yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only escaped alone to tell thee. Verse number 18, while he was yet speaking, there came another and said, and I mean, if you just picture Job at this moment, just trying to take everything in. And I mean, if you lose your finances, hey, that's good. But when you lose your family, I can only imagine the heartache. I can only imagine the stress that Job began to feel when he heard this. In verse number 18, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in thy eldest brothers, in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the 4 corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. And at this moment, what would you do? At this moment, where would your focus be? If your servants or someone came to you and told you that you lost all, what would be your response? And this is the message tonight. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Lord, I pray that in the short time that we have to look into your word, Father, I pray that you would just speak to us, that you would just grow us, that you would help us. And Lord, it's no secret, Lord, that we face trials, circumstances every day, every week, every month, every year, God. And we're going to do that for the rest of our lives. But Lord, I pray that we would just look at the life of Job and that we would learn how he got through it, learn where his focus was, so that we may apply it to our lives, that we may apply it to our learning and our knowledge of you. I pray that you would help me, that you would fill me with your spirit, that you would help me to preach what you have laid in my heart. Lord, we love you so much. We praise you. And Lord, we ask for you to be glorified. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So if we ask the question to Job, you lost your 10 children. Job, you lost all your finances. You lost all your cattle. You lost everything. What are you going to do now? The Bible says that he arose, he fell down upon the ground, worshipped. And then at the end of verse number 21, it says that he blessed the name of God. You see, a lot of times in our life when we face dire circumstances, when we face dire situations, the focus starts to get on those situations and those circumstances. We wonder, how are we going to get out? And we try to go through our own power, go through our own mind and realize and try to think things through and try to think, okay, how am I going to get out of this situation? But Job was left in the place where he had no way out. He had no help but in God. I mean, if you lose everything, I mean, there's nowhere to look but up. I mean, there's nowhere to look but the person, but to the person that gave you all those things in the first place. So if we were to ask the question to Job tonight, how did you get through? How did you manage? How did you bless the Lord through all this? It's what we're going to talk about tonight. If you turn over to, if you look over to verse number one, the Bible says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. If you go over to verse number 5, you'll see that Job rose up early in the morning to offer burnt sacrifices to God. Then you realize that in verse number 8 that God says that same statement that he said in verse number 1 again. So how does Job get through these, get through the circumstances? How does Job get through losing everything? And it's his relationship with God. It's knowing God personally. And you know, I believe with all my heart that if Job did not have this distinct, if Job did not have this deep, intimate relationship with God, we would not be reading him in scripture right now. We would not be looking at him. He would just be another person that fell by the wayside. Another person that gave up on what God was doing. Another person that deserted God. But we're reading his name tonight because he treated his relationship with God as the one most important thing. And you see here that his relationship was greater than him spending time with his wife, him spending time with his kids. It was greater than all the finances that he had, all the camels, all the servants. He put God number one in his life, and his life was blessed. His life was in order. And I think a lot of times in life, the reason why we're so scared, the reason why we're so fretful and circumstances so fretful when God tries us is because we're not putting him first. And our knees start to shake because we're not standing on the rock. I mean, our knees start to bend because we're not allowing him to strengthen us. We start to fall because we're not allowing him to carry us, to get us through. And this man, Job, put his relationship with God, number one, as the most important thing to him. And as I said tonight, we're just going to apply it to our lives. Man, where are you at in this situation? Is God number one in your life? I mean, is God greater than your finances? Is God greater than your relationships in your life? Is God greater than your family? Is God greater than the people that are in this room? Is God greater than yourself? Do you esteem your relationship with God greater than anything in this world? And I mean, I tell you, on a daily basis, it is so amazing to have the opportunity to wake up, to have God speak to your heart. I mean, there's some days where I wake up at 5 a.m. and God is just speaking to me. God is just laying things on my heart. And can I tell you, that is the most amazing thing in all the world. I mean, that's greater than talking to the president. That's greater than going to a Raiders game. That's greater than knowing anyone that is famous. Having the word of God speak to you in the morning, right when you wake up. Man, and then having the opportunity to not only have the word of God speak to you in the morning, but having the opportunity to pray to the God that owns everything. Man, that is so amazing. And honestly, I wouldn't trade that for anything in the world. To have that every single morning is so amazing. And I'm not saying that my relationship with God is, you know, this and that, but I often wonder how Job's relationship with God was. I often wonder what they talked about. I mean, if God could say this about an individual, I wonder how intimate and how real the relationship was. I mean, doesn't that cross your mind? Like, what did Job pray about? What did Job talk to God about? I mean, what was Job's prayer request? And then as we hit on last week, that fear, that awe, and that reverence of God. And then we realized that Job eschewed evil. He forsook evil. Every evil way, he forsook it. And so, first of all tonight, we realize that Job got through this dire circumstance, this dire situation, losing everything because of his relationship with God. And the second point builds on the first point. He realized how great his God was over himself and over Satan as well. And the question that I have for you tonight is, would God send you an endorsement? Would God endorse you as an individual? Would he put his name out there because he knows that your relationship with him is real? Would he allow Satan to attack you so that his name could be glorified? And you know, honestly tonight, some of us have to be honest and say, God, I don't want you to endorse me. God, I don't want you to put your name out there for me. Because God, I am a wreck. I am a wretch. I don't know what I'll do. But I tell you one person that does know, and that's God. God knows exactly what you do. He knows exactly how much you love him, how devoted you are to him. So the question I have for you tonight, would God endorse his name for you? So secondly, we realize that God is greater than Job, greater than Satan. If you jump over to chapter number 14, verse number 1, Job realized who he was. Verse number 1 says, man that is born of a woman is few of days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down and fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. And he goes on to say, and doth thou open thine eyes such an one and bringest me into the judgment with thee? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean one? Not one. Seeing his days are determined, the number of months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. I mean, if you go down to verse number 30 and 32, 33, you see that Job is having this one-on-one encounter with God, and he's questioning God, and then God comes back to him and says, Job, where were you when I did this? Job, where were you when I did this? And Job realized how big and how awesome God is, and he says, you know what, God, you're bigger than the circumstance. God, you're bigger than the situations that I'm going through. You're bigger than the my flesh having boys. You're bigger than me losing all my children, me losing all my finances. God, you are bigger. You are greater. And what does Job say? Blessed be the name of God. Amen. And it is just amazing realizing that my circumstances don't have a hold upon me. Satan doesn't have a hold upon me. Amen. Because my God is greater. Amen. Every single time. Amen. And I'm able to get through those circumstances, those situations, because of him. Not because of my strength, but because of him. Every single time. And I also think as well, a lot of times in our life, we think that God and Satan are kind of on the same plane. We think that they are equals. But who's asking who the questions here? Yeah. Satan is asking God the questions here. And God is in control here. And that's the part that amazes me so much, that a lot of times in our life, we live defeated lives thinking that Satan is equal with God when God is more powerful than Satan. I mean, God created Satan. And you know, probably the two people that I hate the most is, number one, my flesh, and number two, Satan. Those are the two people that I hate the most. And I mean, you look at Satan, how he's conniving, how he's always trying to divide, how he's always trying to ruin what God is doing. You know, and sometimes I'm just so encouraged by Revelation, how it says that he's going to be cast into the lake of fire forever. We don't have to deal with his demons. We don't have to deal with what he's doing here on this earth. He's going to be cast away forever. And honestly, I can't wait to that day. And honestly, sometimes I'm just reminding Satan that, hey, one day that's going to happen to you. One day you're not, you don't have any power over me right now, but one day you're not going to have any power over this world. Maybe you're going to be cast into the lake of fire forever. Because God is powerful, because God is mighty. So first of all, we realize that Job was able to get through this dire situation of losing everything because of his relationship with God. Secondly, because he realized that God was greater than Satan and greater than his circumstance. And then lastly, we realize that God used Job to be a witness, to be a testimony. And so if you analyze that word, witness or testimony, as someone that has experienced it. You know, Job didn't get it by secondhand. Someone didn't tell him these things or pass on a story to him about what God could do. Job experienced it himself. And Job was able to say at the end of it all, blessed be the name of the Lord because of all that he went through. I mean, can you imagine losing all your family, losing all your finances, your flesh being ridded with boils? And I mean, it just seems like the whole world is against you. You have all your friends talking about curse God. And Job, is there any sin in your life? You have your wife saying curse God and die. I mean, you're just all alone in the situation. Can you imagine that? Can you put yourself in that situation? But where did Job get at the end of it? He was able to testify how great of a God that he served. Amen. How strong and how mighty of a God that he served. And what did Job say in the end? He says, I have heard of thee, but now I know thee. And Job was able to be a witness. And you know, oftentimes in our life, the reason why we go through things and the reason why we face trials and tribulations is so that we can be a blessing to someone else. You know, if God never allows you to face a health struggle, man, how could you help someone else get through and say that God is able to deliver you? I mean, take Job, for example. If Job did not lose everything that he had, how could God say, hey, be encouraged that I'm going to be with you. I was with Job. Man, I'm going to be with you too. Go through Daniel in the lion's den. Go through Job, Joseph, being thrown into the pit by his brothers, being in that dire situation. But God delivered them every single time. So God used Job as a testimony. And can I tell you tonight, it's wonderful to give a testimony of how good your God is. I mean, it's wonderful to have someone struggling and have someone in despair and have someone not knowing where to go. And then you have the opportunity to point them the way because you lived it, because you experienced it, because God showed you exactly the way to go. God showed you exactly that he can deliver you, that he can help you in those times of need. I mean, that is one of the most amazing things, sharing a testimony of what God can do through an individual's life, no matter the circumstance, no matter the sin in their life, because he's always able, because he's always real. And so, like I said tonight, put yourselves in the place of Job and ask yourself this question. Where would you go? What would you do if you lost everything? Lost your health, lost your family, lost your finances, lost everything. What would be your first response? Would it be to bless God? Would it be to fall on your knees? Would it be to bow before him? Or would you get bitter? Would you get angry? Would you get mad at God? And I tell you tonight that the one thing that matters most in this world, in all the world, is your relationship with God.
That's right.
Not stuff, not family. I mean, they're all blessings. I'm so thankful that God has given us to enjoy. But honestly, at the end of the day, I don't serve God because of my family. I don't serve God because of you guys. I don't serve God because of my wife. I serve God because he saved me.
Amen.
Because he allows me to know him. Because he allows me to be in the family of God. And has given me that opportunity. So how about you tonight? Would you serve God for not? And not only that, what is your view of God tonight? I mean, is he able? Is he big? Is he strong? Is he mighty? Is he powerful? You know what I'm realizing in my life is we do a good job of talking about how big God is, how strong, how mighty it is, but we don't do a good job of living it. We face situations, man, we're ready to duck and run, we're ready to throw in the towel. But how about tonight you realize how big your God is? That even if you lose everything, you have everything because you have him. And he's all powerful, he's almighty. So Job, what would you do if you lost everything? What would you do if you lost your family, your kids? What would be your response? Number one, I realize that I have a God that is greater. I realize that my relationship with God is greater than anything in all this world. And then lastly, I realize, hey, I'm going to be a witness to his power, a witness to his grace, a witness to his mercy. You know what I was thinking about this week? It was only by God's grace and mercy that Job was able to get through the situation. But not only that, it's only by God's grace and mercy that Job was even alive. And it's by God's grace and mercy that you're alive tonight. Amen. Just give him everything. Give him all of you. And really quick, as I close, you know, realizing as a young man, you know, realizing that I'm going to face these trials and tribulations every day, every month, every year, so on and so forth. Man, it causes me to shift my focus from myself. And I'm thankful that God is teaching me all these things because I realize, man, when I get 67 years old, you know, I want my relationship with God, you know, to grow and so on and so forth. But not only that, you know, I don't want to throw in the towel. You know, Brother Chuck, I don't want to quit on this thing. I really don't. Just thinking about all that God has given me, I don't want to quit on this. And then just to realize that there are people in this world that don't have what I have, man, that just burns me up inside. Like, why am I taking this thing for granted? Why am I taking salvation for granted? The fact that God saved me for granted, when there are people all around this world that don't know him, that don't have the opportunity to know him, that lose everything and quit on life. But realize tonight that you don't have to throw in the towel. God's going to get you through every single time. Every single time. And as I look out tonight, I see people that are facing health struggles, family struggles. Man, things are just going on in your life and you're just wondering, God, when is it all going to end? When is it all going to stop? And I would just simply say to you tonight, as a testimony for myself, don't focus on the circumstances. Focus on the Savior. Focus on him, because he's going to get you through. He's going to help you through. And, you know, just being honest with you, man, it just seems like the devil just throws a whirlwind, just trying to wreak havoc, trying to destroy you every single day. Trying to get you to throw in the towel, trying to get you to quit every single day, trying to get you to fall. But if you're not staying focused on him, you're going to give in. You're going to fall. He's going to destroy you. He's going to have his way every single time. And really quick tonight, I'll tell you that, man, if you have a wayward child, keep praying, because God is greater. Don't focus on them being wayward. Focus on the Savior tonight. If you have a health struggle, don't focus on your health struggle. Realize that you have a God that is a great physician, and he's going to give you the strength to get through. Just focus on him. If you have a financial struggle tonight, don't focus on your finances. Realize that you have a God that is greater than your finances, that's able to meet your needs, and he's greater than your finances. Man, if you have a self-esteem struggle tonight, man, realize you have a God that loves you, that cares about you, that has died for you, that is everything you could ever want, everything you could ever need. So don't focus on your circumstance tonight. Like Job, let's say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we're so humbled at the fact that you do not treat us as our sins deserve. But we're so humbled by the fact that you give grace and mercy. Humbled by the fact that you give us strength. Humbled by the fact that you use us. And Lord, honestly, it just causes us to fall on our knees and just say thank you and just praise you and just lift up your name and just serve you. And Lord, tonight, as we looked at the life of Job and we saw a man that lost everything, but I thank you that we can look to his life and see what you did through him. See how you worked through him, and Lord, how you blessed him twice as much, and how he was able to know you in a greater way. And Lord, tonight we thank you so much that the trials that you allow, the testings that you allow, grow us and help us learn more and more about you. And tonight, would you shift our focus from the circumstances, shift our focus from what we're going through, what we're battling, what we're facing, to you. And Lord, we know that everything will dim because we realize that you're in control. Lord, we love you so much and we praise your holy name. And we ask, Lord, that you would help us to be great ambassadors for you, great examples for you. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, I do thank you for what we've just heard. Amen. Thank you for the testimony of Job. Lord, we think we have it bad. It's nothing compared to what Job had. Maybe, Lord, when we whine and blame, maybe it might be good for us to have it just like Job had it. So we appreciate you.